Good evening, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. This is your host, Lance White. My guest tonight is David Oakford, author of Journey Through the World of Spirit, God, Gaia, and Guardian Angels. His book details his near-death experience, which was initially triggered by a fatal overdose. During this NDE, David became bewildered, then frightened to find that we do not die. Instinctively, he knew to pray and was soon rescued by his own guardian angel. The author shares what he was shown concerning the life after death realms, heavens, light beings, dark souls, the life force, energy dynamics of our planet and its inhabitants, and the lessons learned from a panel of evaluators. So let's find out more about what happens in the beyond by bringing him into the now. Welcome, David. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Lance. How are you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little nervous tonight for some reason. I'm not usually, but I think it's the winter solstice energies. You know, I think they're starting to, you know, heat up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
David, you know, I'm a former addict and alcoholic myself. So when I saw that you had, initially had some problems with drugs, I kind of honed right in on that. How did your near-death experience come about, and how did that relate to your, you know, your drug experiences?
Well, what happened was I was at a party. It was going to be the last party that I had with my friends. I was planning on leaving town to get away from the friends that I had and all the influences that were leading me into, you know, abusing drugs and alcohol. And what happened was I overdosed on PCP. I snorted it instead of smoked it how it was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And I first found myself, I passed out in front of the house out on the front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little while later, I woke up in a chair in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I could felt my body all slowing down, everything stopping and everything. And I got scared, and I thought to pray to God to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And a spirit being came to me, which I believe to be my guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Bob in my book.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me, he told me things that happened to me when I was younger to prove to me that he was with me all the whole time through my life. And he said that there was a lot of that we could see, and a lot of things that we could do at that point. And he said that we could go anywhere that I wanted to go. And I'd heard of the Seven Wonders of the World before.
Uh-huh.
And I thought of those. And it, of course, he knew what I was thinking.
Right.
We talked through thought, basically.
Uh-huh.
Is how we talked. And he told me that the only wonders that's left is the pyramids in Egypt and the Grand Canyon in the southwest United States, which I saw when I was younger. So he told me all I had to do was trust him, think about where I wanted to go, and we would go.
Wow.
And we went to Egypt. And it was there just like a we were there in not even a second. And I saw a thing about time when I was in Egypt. I saw how the pyramids and everything looked back in their heyday, we'll say.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw the pyramids in the current time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see, and both time frames were like together.
Uh-huh.
They both interacted with each other, and I saw that I was in Egypt back in that time, and I did some things that weren't quite right, and I ended up hurting a lot of people, and I was told that my life this time is to make up for what I did then.
So your sense is that there is kind of a, not karma per se, but that eventually our actions do catch up with us, and we do have to balance those out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you were at the pyramids, did you have any sense of what they were there for and how they were built?
Well, I was told a lot of things about them, but unfortunately, a lot of it, well, what I was told, I don't really remember
right.
all that well. There were some things that I was told about how they were built and why they were built, and I was told that they are important to the future.
Really?
Yes.
Well, of course, a lot of people do believe that, you know, that they haven't actually fulfilled their purpose yet. Huh. I wonder how far into the future they're going to come into play.
I don't know.
Well,
I wish I knew.
We'll all have to find out. So then, so that was you took you to a previous life, which you had kind of been drawn to with the pyramids. What happened after that?
Well, after that, he said that there was more for us to see, and he wanted to show me around the planet.
Wow.
So what we did was we flew from Egypt, and we flew over the oceans, and I could see the countries. It was basically like a low orbit, like the shuttle would fly. That was my viewpoint of it, and I could see the energies of all the lands, and I could tell which ones were more spiritual, which ones weren't, and I could see the effects of humans living on the planet and things that we've done to change the energies.
What did that? What can you go into a little more detail about that? Where were the most spiritual spots and so on and so forth?
Well, the more spiritual spots were in Asia, and Asia, with India and places like that.
Uh-huh.
The places that weren't all developed.
Uh-huh.
Like our country is.
Oh, yeah, technology.
Yeah, it was different. It had to do a lot of, I was told, of how spiritual the people are and how they've interacted with the planet, how harmonious they are with the planet.
Okay.
And I could see, some places had, what I call nicer energies than others. But
what was America like?
America was a lot different. It wasn't really what I would expect.
Huh.
The energies were seemed to be kind of out of control. Like I was shown places like in the Northwest. I was shown about how we deforested there, and
uh-huh.
I could see how the energies were different. They just weren't. Nice, I'll say.
When you say not nice, would you say that that was a darker energy or just not as high a vibration as the more spiritual parts?
Not as high a vibration.
Okay, all right. So then you went on a world tour, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened at that point?
Well, after we came back, we were back in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and I saw souls. I could see souls like me. I could see angels like Bob. I could see light beings. I could see the what I call the dark souls, which are tantamount basically to ghosts.
Who
haven't gone to the light yet. He told me about the light, and it's a place where souls go so long as they know about it, and they go to it, but they could choose not to go to it.
Huh.
And that's what the dark souls were.
What do they do?
They hang around the planet and get into mischief.
They're up trouble.
A lot of times they don't know that they passed,
mm-hmm.
or they know that they passed. They don't want to go to the light for some reason.
Huh. Interesting. So of course you see that in the movies a lot too. That they always tell you go towards the light. But you were able to see those different energies, and what kind of a chat did you have with him after that?
Well, after that, I wondered about the planet's energy, and I wondered if I could see that from a distance, because I wanted to see what the aura of the planet looked like.
Okay.
So we went out into space, and I could see the planet from, we were by the moon, and I could see the planet from there.
Wow.
And I could see the aura of the planet.
Uh-huh.
It was really cool. It was mainly blue, but it was very strong. But Bob told me that it's been weakened because of how we've been living on the planet and what we've been doing. You know, with the pollution and the deforestation and those things.
Did he give you a major reason why things, you know, what the main cause was? I mean, was it basically our lack of concern for our planet?
Yes.
And so was the planet like a living entity, like you would look at a soul? The planet has her own soul?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, a living, breathing being.
Wow. Yeah. And you mentioned in your book that he refers to it as Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, that's what the spiritual name that he told me the planet was for the planet.
Huh.
He had a spiritual name for me too, and a spiritual name for him, except they were, I couldn't understand, or I couldn't say it. it was kind of complex. It was almost like it was in a different language.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Wow. Did the other side seem as real as this one?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's
it's intertwined with us.
It really?
Yes.
So, a
lot of times, most people don't see it because their vibration isn't high enough. But there are people with vibrations that are high enough that can see.
Now, you said that there were light beings on the planet as well. I mean, all of this is happening in the same space, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any sense of events that were coming up in the near future, like 2012 or any kind of cosmic changes that were on the way?
Not specifically,
okay.
But I was told that things are going to get worse on the planet before we learn what we're doing and work to right that.
Ooh. And no details about that, I guess.
No.
Of course not. Yeah, I was afraid of that. Did you get a sense that there is anything evil in the world, or were you viewing from a space that was so high that it incorporated everything?
I would say that, yes, it incorporated everything. But I was told about evil, and I was told that I was not a part of that,
uh-huh.
And that I was basically a light being.
Okay.
And and that I was told that there's probably just as much evil as there is light.
Really?
Yes.
Did he explain why that is, or did he go into more details about that?
No.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Then you did a life review as well, didn't you?
Yes.
Was that part of this process, or did that occur after your, you know, afterwards, or?
It occurred toward the end of the experience.
Okay. What other things did you learn before your life review?
Before the life review, I learned, now, get this, I know it's probably, sounds kind of weird, but I learned about the other planets.
Oh, tell us about that.
Because we went by the other planets on our way to this star place.
Oh, good. I meant to ask you.
And the other planets are also living beings.
Huh.
Just like ours is.
Really?
And there are souls on those planets.
Wow.
And each of the planets has a theme,
huh?
An overall theme.
Do you remember what? The,
and what they're for is for souls to go there and focus on that theme and learn that theme. And after the soul's been on all of them and has a good idea of the themes and a little bit of experience on it, then that's when a soul comes here to live.
You mean to Earth?
Yes.
So Earth is kind of a graduation place?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Do you remember what the themes were on those other planets?
Not really. I know they had to do with emotions.
Yeah. That would make sense. And then did you find out what happens after you graduate from Earth?
After you graduate from Earth, I understand that reincarnating here, it would be an optional type thing, and you could come back to help other souls.
Mm.
And what was I going to say? You could also be a light being. You could also become a light being like Bob was.
Oh.
For me.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That sounds like
fun. And there's other places. There's other places, too, in the universe.
Yeah, did you get to go beyond our universe at all, or did you stay in the solar system?
I have to say almost. Almost. We went to the star place, and I call it a star place. It was like a spiral.
Huh.
It was like a spiral. It had a calm center to it.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to go there because I thought that there was something on the other side that I wanted to go see.
Uh-huh.
And Bob said that I wasn't quite ready to go there yet.
Really?
He said he wanted to make sure that I was fully ready and be able to handle what I saw when I went there.
Really?
Yeah.
And he didn't give you any clue about what was what was there?
No.
Oh my goodness! Now I want to find out about that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
If anything,
I have a goal of going back there sometime.
Well, we better be good boys and girls at Christmas, and so if we want to go find out about this place, huh?
Yes.
So the everything apparently is recorded or known about our lives as they happen in our own timeline. Is that what I am I gathering that correctly?
Yes.
That in other words, every move, every thought, every emotion is all somehow recorded impermanently.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you mentioned reincarnation, too. So I know a lot of people have questions about reincarnation and thoughts about, you know, whether or not it happens or not. But the way that you explain it, it's kind of like a more or less a choice at a certain point once you've learned your lessons.
Yes. Yes. And you prepare for the life here when you're in the afterlife, the way I understand it.
Hmm.
You prepare the goals, the overall goals that you want to meet. You don't really prepare the events to meet the goals.
Right.
But you plan the goals that you want to meet, and then you set up the circumstances, like who I was going to be born to,
uh-huh.
You know, what my parents.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing that I picked them.
Yeah, I believe that too. I'm pretty sure about that one. And if we are involved with free choice, it seems like it would almost have to work that way, wouldn't it? Unless, you know, I don't think God or the Creator micromanages all of this, does he?
No. Nope.
Speaking of
some things about him too, about the Creator.
Yeah, tell us about that. What about God?
I was told that God is everywhere and everything. He's the essence. He's the life force for everything.
Wow.
And I was told also that to understand God, you need to understand everything. And the chances of being able to do that are kind of slim.
Wow.
There's so much about it, the Creator, that he's very, very complex. And
I would think.
Real hard to know.
Really? so it's not like the smiling man with a beard.
No. There's no throne, nothing like that.
No.
He doesn't mete out punishment. It's not what he does.
I wanted to ask you about that, if you had a sense that there was any sense of any feeling of judgment from Bob.
No, not at all.
So I kind of like this idea that you're talking about, that we map out our goals, not necessarily the events. We don't map those out, but we map out in a kind of a pre-incarnational agreement about what we'd like to have occur, and we set that up in advance?
Yes. And we use the energies of the other planets and the stars.
We do.
Astrology is a factor.
Really?
In that. Because when you're planning...
Uh-huh.
When you're in the afterlife, you have the benefit of seeing everything in a pure way, and you can pick like say if I had a goal in my life that I wanted to pick, I would use the energies of the stars, like. It's really hard to explain, but astrology is a part of it. Astrology is a big part of it. It makes it so that you get the emotions from the different planets and set that and use those to set yourself up. So that you have the tools to meet your goals.
Oh, okay. Okay. What are some of the other tools that you get before we come here? So the astrology is important, and we get guidance from the stars and their alignment when we're born. You know, the moment we're born, we must choose that then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, how detail specific do our lives get? I mean, do we plan out? Do we micromanage and plan out every little relationship and cul-de-sac? Or
no?
Okay, so that's all pretty much our choice when we're here.
Yes.
And how do we get steered in the right direction to meet our goals? Is that the job of the guardian angel?
Not really. No.
Really?
No, we steer that. We control that.
And so then that would have to be done at our soul level, is that, or an oversoul of some sort?
Yes. I believe spirit guides can be involved in it too, but the ultimate choice is yours. I mean, they could try to steer you. But if you're not going to be steered, then you're not going to be steered.
That makes sense. It's kind of like parenting, huh?
Yes.
Although I haven't been a parent, but, you know, I can imagine what it would be like. You know, you can only do so many things in so many different ways, and, you know, sometimes you have to just leave a kid alone.
Yes.
And then let them find out the hard way.
Yep.
So what was, you mentioned emotions, so is one of the biggest things that we work on the emotions that we can develop, or is it develop our ability to love?
Yes, that's what it all comes, what it all boils down to.
Because
that's the ultimate goal.
It doesn't make sense to come here to learn how to be a great violinist or, you know, an artist or something. I mean, I know those things are valuable, but it seems like the most important thing is to learn how to love and be loved.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. The Jesus entity, I saw a Jesus entity there, and that's all he told me was, all humans need to do is love one another, and I will be well. That's
really?
All he said to me.
Wow. What did he look, what form did he take?
When I first saw him, when he first appeared to me, he looked kind of human. He looked like his head looked like a painting that was in the hallway of this parochial school that I went to in 7th, 8th grade. He looked like that, and then he changed. He changed into his light, and he was just a mass of white light.
Wow. Wow. So we do have guidance from Jesus when we need it. Was that your sense of it as well?
Yeah. He's an example.
Okay.
He's of a master vibration.
Okay. Because obviously if God is as complex as he is, and we might, it might be a stretch to be confronted with that energy, then I guess the Christ energy would be some kind of intermediary, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Am I catching the drift that we're kind of striving towards that energy, that we're trying to increase our light quotient and our ability to love?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what's going wrong on the planet then?
Well, choices that are being made, choices that don't bring about loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Say you have greed. You have like somebody wants to make something and they want to make money off it, but they don't care what they tear down to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that.
So greed, I see that all over the place. I mean, it seems like it's really, it's all we do see. You know, people struggling for power and domination of the world. It seems that, you know, if we don't do something about it, it's going to continue to get worse in that direction.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So what else did you learn while you were in that state?
Well, the life review was the biggest part.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
That was the biggest learning experience.
Okay, and now, how did that be, was it explained to you that you were going through a life review? I mean, did you just, you intuitively knew this?
Yes, what happened was, after we were at the Star Place, and after I saw the Jesus entity, then Bob said that there's more that we could see if I was ready to go see.
Ooh.
And instead of me picking where I wanted to go, I let him pick.
Good choice, I bet.
And he brought me to this place that was in this, as I can describe it, it was in the shadow of this planet. And I could see from, it was like a, what I consider to be heaven.
Okay.
Okay. And there were buildings there. There was nature there. There were souls there going out all about their business just like we do here.
Huh.
And how to explain it. he took me to this one building, and we went inside. And I remember going up these steps, these wooden steps. And there were rooms in the upper floor.
Uh-huh.
And I went into one room. I saw two spirits in there. They were playing. And they asked me why I was there. And then, I thought that I knew them,
uh-huh.
but I didn't know from where.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to another room. There was another spirit in there. He didn't talk to me.
Hmm.
And then we went to another room, and there was a more advanced spirit in there, which I took to be a female energy.
Uh-huh.
And she was very concerned that I was there. And just their characteristics and the way that they acted, I believe that those are actually my children that I have now.
Huh.
And after that, then we went to another building, and it went just inside the door, and there were these double doors there, and there was this wooden bench. And the wood there, the wooden bench glowed, and there was paneling on the walls, and that was made of wood, too, from the trees that grew there.
Uh-huh.
And it glowed. It had a glow to it.
Huh.
And Bob told me to sit on the bench and wait for him, and he went into the double doors. And then he came out, and he told me that that I needed to go in there. But while I was sitting on the bench, I started seeing my past lives, and I realized I remembered about the bench.
Oh,
that I was there before.
Oh, that's
and
where
I started to get a little scared. And then when I went into the room, the group of spirits were in there. There was probably maybe a dozen of them,
mm-hmm.
and they started to show me. Each one of them had an aspect of my life that he was to present to me.
Okay.
Okay, just to present it, just to show me what I did.
Okay.
Like if I did something bad, then I would feel the feelings of all the other people who were the recipients of me being bad.
Huh. Every one of them? In
like
other words,
I stole from someone,
uh-huh.
I would feel their pain from me stealing from them. If I hurt someone, I would feel how they felt.
Oh, wow.
And it went both ways, too. I mean, if I was good, then all the good feelings that were the result of my actions, I would feel those, too.
Wow.
And, I was only 19 years old. I was an alcoholic, a drug addict.
Uh-huh.
You know, I broke the law many times. You know, I was basically headed for either a grave or jail.
Uh-huh.
You know, something like that. That's where I was headed. And,
Yeah, I've been there.
went to the grave, basically. I ended up. I could have ended up dead, and actually, that's what happened.
Well, yeah. Except you're here to talk about it and share your experiences to help us. Those of us who are here to remember why we came here and to hopefully make some course corrections while we can make the course corrections.
Yes, yes, and a lot of it was when they gave me that review, all they did was show me.
Ah.
That's all they did. They didn't judge me or anything like that. I was the one who did the judging. And,
wow.
And I did it from the point of view that I could see everything. I could see all the aspects of it.
Wow.
And I didn't have my ego in the way.
Uh-huh.
So I could see everything and see what I could have done better.
Wow. So it was almost like being an impartial observer.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. And did they do this sequentially? I mean, one at a time?
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
But did it seem like it was you had all the time in the world to do it? Or did it seem like it was happening fast? Or
I had enough time to look at everything over, yes.
But it
did happen fast.
Okay, good. And at what point did your life actually start? The moment you came in through your mother?
Yes.
And, of course, you chose your mother, so from the spirit realm, you incarnated into, the parents that you had.
Yeah, I went on a ray of light to her.
Oh.
And went inside.
And
then I was born.
Was there any color to that ray? I'm just curious.
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, so you went on the ray of light, and then the birth, and then did your review start with birth?
Yes.
And did you see things that happened to you when you were a baby that you could have done differently?
Yes, yes.
Really?
A lot of the things when I was a baby, there was things that I thought before this happened that I thought I was responsible for.
Uh-huh.
And that, I was bad, and that's why I was bad, was because of these things that happened when I was, less than 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
But I learned that a lot of those things weren't my fault.
Ah.
And I had been carrying around thinking it was my fault all the whole time.
And that was affecting your whole life.
Yes, yes.
Well, that seems to be a common problem here on Earth.
Yes,
I think
yes.
We all do that, don't we?
Yes, I think so, too.
So you probably felt a big sigh of relief when you realized that, things just happened the way they did, that it wasn't your fault.
Yes, yes. I was told that everything that happened was supposed to happen. And it was supposed to happen that way.
And did you get...
And it was building me up to where I was then and where I am now.
Wow. So now you've kind of caught up with yourself,
yeah,
in a
yeah,
sense. I mean,
well,
you've been able to have your life review and see, and you decided that, what was the choice that you made you must have made a choice to come back or to return. Were you given the choice to go move on into other realms, or?
No.
No.
No. My choice was either to stay where I was or come back to the planet and finish what I started.
So you could have stayed there in the spirit realm.
Yes, but...
But?
All the goals that I had set,
uh-huh.
I would still have to meet those goals.
Oh.
You know, I could stay there and I could put it off.
Right.
Or I could just come back and do it.
That's what I've always thought. I've always thought that. You know, it just makes sense. It just makes sense, you know, that, you know, you can put it off for a while, and but you know, sooner or later, eventually, it's going to roll around and you're going to have to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to evolve and go to the next level. But you can stay at the same level for as long as you want if you enjoy stagnating, kind of.
Yes. Yeah, and another thing, another reason why I chose to come back was because I asked Bob. This was after the life review was done and I was out of the room. We went to this garden, but Bob showed me, you know, I asked him, I said, well, if I go back, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
And so Bob told me about things that would happen in my life, like I would have problems with employment, I have money problems. I would get married. My marriage wouldn't be very good until I learned how to handle my energies properly. I was told that I would have kids and that I need to be there for them, to meet their goals.
Oh.
If I would have stayed, then I wouldn't be there for them to meet their goals, and I would be messing up their plans.
Oh, so in other words...
That was the main reason I came back.
For your future children.
Yes.
Because if you didn't come back, then their plans get all screwed up.
Right.
And it's a domino effect. So everything we do affects something else. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's true.
Even, blinking an eye. Well, that's really interesting. My goodness. What else did you, this is really fascinating. Can you talk some more about, your experience with Bob and what you learned?
Well, I learned with Bob, I learned that he records, is what he does.
Records.
He records.
Okay.
He records everything that happens in my life. That's how he could show me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he that's what he does. He doesn't try to push me either way. You know, I don't have any dealings with him.
Now.
He went back. He did come to me the night after. And he wanted me to. He told me about this friend that I had. He told me that he's going to die in a drunk driving accident.
Oh.
And I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was also after I thought the whole day about what happened and what happened afterward, right after when I came back. I woke up all my friends when I came back. I started telling them what happened.
And
they told me I was crazy.
Oh.
So I went walking around all day thinking, "Well, gee, am I crazy? Was it just a bad drug trip?" You know, I thought about it all day, and then I got to the point where when I saw Bob again, it was like, "No,
it was real.
Leave me alone." You know,
yeah.
It's too real. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what was going to happen to people.
Yeah. So you remembered everything when you came back into your body?
Yes.
And how much time had passed as far as your friends knew you were dead? Or, that you were out there, on the PCP? Was it like minutes or?
No, I was gone for a long time.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so someone sitting here in Michigan when I left the area when we went to Egypt, and then when we came back, the sun was setting on the west coast of the United States. And when I came back here, the sun was rising.
So a lot of time has passed.
Yeah.
But you experienced your whole lifetime in those moments.
Yes.
And more.
Now, how long I was dead during that time, I cannot say.
Yeah. Wow. So then you came back in your body. I wanted to ask you a question about suicide. What happens when a person commits suicide?
Well, suicide is a bad thing that you really don't want to do because of the goals that you set.
Uh-huh.
If you set the goals and you come to this planet and you live a life, that is a big honor for a soul just to do that.
Really?
Here.
Wow.
And the way everybody's destiny is intertwined.
Uh-huh.
If you take yourself out of the picture, then you're not in the picture for everyone else.
Ooh. So we really don't have much choice except to move forward and face our fears and our weaknesses and work through our own problems.
Right, right. Well, I think basically what happens when you commit suicide is you start over.
Ooh. Okay, well, you convinced me I'm not going to do that tonight. Was there any sense that there were any religious overtones there, or was that, or did you have a sense that religion, what do you think about religions?
Well, my experience was not religious.
Okay.
Even though I saw Jesus entity, it was not religious. Nobody brought up anything about any religions whatsoever.
Good.
Now,
good.
So far as religions go, I'm not really comfortable in any.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe what I believe, and you know, I believe what happened in my experience, and that's what I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everyone else is wrong.
Right.
I'll never say that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, what's right for one person is right for that person.
Yeah.
I'm not against religions. There are parts of all religions that I like.
Yeah, same here.
But
they don't really capture the essence of what you were just talking about.
Right.
It's all the trappings and not the good stuff.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of influence, you know, from just the human point of view.
Oh, right, right, right. Now, when you came back, was part of what you came back to do write your book and share your experiences?
Well, I was told that people would be interested in my experience sooner or later.
No kidding. Yeah, absolutely.
And, I kept quiet about it. I told my wife about it.
Uh-huh.
That was the year we got married, I told her. And I kept quiet about it for the rest of it because of what my friend said.
Right.
You know, that I was crazy.
Right.
And I didn't want to take a chance on ended up being locked up someplace.
Right, right. That's what everybody seems to think.
And I was also kind of a little ashamed that I had the experience in the first place that I did that.
You mean with the PCP?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
But eventually, how it came about me telling the story finally was when we got the internet. In 1996,
uh-huh.
I found AOL chat rooms.
Uh-huh.
I found metaphysics chat room.
Oh.
I went in there. People were talking about metaphysical things, and I realized that, hey, what happened to me is indeed a metaphysical thing.
Right.
So I started talking about it.
Yeah.
I tried to tell the story in the chat room.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work. I never could tell the whole thing, but I told enough to where people were interested in it, and... somebody asked me to write a 2,000-word essay
about
what happened and send it to him. So I did that. and the guy edited it. The guy was from the UK. And he edited it, and then he sent it back to me. And I met this woman whose son was dying online. So I sent her the story. And plus, I sent the story to my friends that were interested in it.
Uh-huh.
Christmas time in 98.
Okay.
97, 98. And somebody sent that little essay to the webmaster of the Near Death Experiences and Afterlife website.
Oh.
And he put it on his website.
Oh, my.
And put my email on there. I got a big stack of emails from people.
Huh.
thanking me, saying thank you, you know, asking questions.
Wow.
Asking me for more, because that 2,000 word essay really didn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I had to cram it in the 2,000 words.
Right, right.
So that's basically how I started to write the book, was people asked me, and I thought, well, no, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write it. I'm going to write the whole thing. Everything that I remember, I'm going to write.
Uh-huh.
And that's how my first book came about. My first book, I wrote a book before Journey,
uh-huh,
called Soul Baird, 61 pages long.
Huh.
Okay. The little book, that was my first shot at trying to do a book.
Okay.
Which I never did before. So it's kind of like a prototype.
Yeah.
need a little bit of work, you know, the concept is there. But Journey came about when I sent a copy of Soul Bear to John J. Harper.
Oh, you know John.
Yes,
he's been,
yes,
a guest.
John actually is a co-author of Journey with me.
Oh, he did.
Yes.
He is such an incredible man, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He is.
What a beacon of light. I've had him on the show 3 times, and every time it's like he just blows me away with everything. Tell me a little bit more about that. So he helped you with the writing of your book.
Yes, yes. Basically, the first book wasn't really edited
All
that well, but and John filled that role for me.
Oh, good, good, yeah.
And we have the book is a really good book. It's it tells a story. The story is straight. PMH Atwater endorsed it. She's a big near-death experience researcher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And John is a researcher as well. So that was real nice that they gave me the confirmation.
Wow. Well, I've got to get your book now. speaking of that, why don't you tell us now, before we get closer to the end of the hour, the name of the book and your website and where your book can be found?
Okay, the name of the book is Journey Through the World of Spirit, God, Gaia, and Guardian Angels. I have a website that's journeythroughtheworldofspirit.com that's dedicated to my book, to just for Journey. You can get the book at the online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get it through the publisher, Reality Press. I've been known to send out signed copies to people who write me and ask for them.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that with my book when it comes out next year. I'm just giving birth to my first book, too, so I know what that process is like.
Yeah,
it's quite a process.
Yes, it is.
Now, in your book, do you mention everything that we talked about here on the show and more?
Yes.
Probably in greater detail, because you had time to, you know, sit down and put it in a sequence that people will be able to understand and so on.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Did you tell me did you have children with your wife yet?
Yes.
Oh, you did. So these things are coming true.
Things happen. My buddy that was going to die, died.
He did die.
Okay. He died from a drunk driving accident about 2 months after.
Really? Wow.
I do have 4 children. I'm actually currently unemployed.
Uh-huh.
And the job thing has been a problem.
Well,
I've never really had a decent job.
Huh.
I did spend 5 years in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
That was my closest thing to having a, you know, decent steady job.
Uh-huh.
But that was 5 years. You know, I had a great job, but I didn't like the Navy.
Yeah.
So, all that, so all stuff happened. You know, and yeah, I found people that were interested in it.
So you're in alignment now with your soul purpose, I guess.
I keep being told that.
Yeah. Now, did your alcohol and drug problems clear up after that experience?
Well, the drugs, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take chances.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I stopped the risky behavior.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
That's what I did. I still had problems. I still had my problems. You know, I still drank. I still, you know, had this experience gnawing at me, you know, the whole time, you know,
yeah.
thinking about it and everything.
Yeah.
The alcohol, that's gone now.
Yeah.
I worked on that. The drugs are gone. You know, I have a college degree. I have children. I have a house. You know, mortgage payments. You know, just like everyone else. And I don't. If what happened to me didn't happen, I don't know. I'd be able to say those things.
Huh. Well, of course, you wouldn't be here if if you had chosen to not come back, and then the children wouldn't have been born, and then whatever they affect wouldn't have happened, and so on and so forth, I guess.
Yes, and they're going to affect a lot too, my children are.
Oh, so you were shown that in your while you were on the other side.
Yes, not the specific things.
Right,
I was told that they were very extremely important.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we're going to see how their lives play out.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get any good news from Bob about, you know, towards the end of your life you'll be, you know, comfortable and everything will be okay? Or
In a sense, yeah.
But he did tell you about the hardships, you know, with difficulties with jobs and all that.
Yes.
Now your kids will play out their lives. So if this is all kind of happening to everybody, then it seems as if everything is orchestrated into the future.
Yeah, I'd say that. there's of course things can and do go wrong.
Yeah.
With choice, there's always, you know, a positive choice or a negative choice.
Uh huh. What else, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about the other side that people would be interested in hearing?
Well, I have to say that it's a real place. Everything is there. It's actually more real to me than this is,
wow.
than living. You
wow.
know, than, you know, being, I don't know that I could go back to not thinking, to not believing in the afterlife.
Huh. Wow.
There's a lot of skeptics. You know, skeptics will say, oh, it was just a drug trip.
Uh-huh.
But really, it was more than that.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just... I've seen too many things to confirm
uh-huh.
for me. Like auras, there are people that can see auras.
I've
met them, talked to them.
Yeah,
there's, you know, people that can see that too. Or I don't really like that term, but people that see the souls who aren't in bodies.
Oh right, right. In fact, I had one on last week who talked about haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, there's and you can travel, astral travel. Yep, can be done. People do it.
Now, did you?
I don't necessarily, but
you found out most of this stuff after you came back into your body and started researching. Then,
no.
Oh no! So this was all in your after death experience?
Yes. That's where I was introduced to the concepts.
Okay.
But just through living and learning from other people, I've learned that what I was shown is right.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to sum up everything, what would you say, what kind of advice would you give to our listeners or to other souls out there that are journeying around?
Well, my advice would be to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
To be positive and be as loving and kind as you can, because that will come back. It will
mm-hmm.
come back.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes back.
Well, David, thank you for being on tonight. This hour's flown by on angel wings. That was a wonderful, wonderful experience to talk to you. And I'm going to go out and get your book.
Oh, thank you, Lance.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have to read it now. I love this stuff. So best of luck to you, and I will hopefully talk to you again.
Okay. Anytime.
All right.
You want. Okay.
Good night, everybody. Good night.